As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And last night, our Lakers got their third straight win, 4-5, with a win against the Pelicans that I think was a better win than might seem on paper. First off, D, I don't turn my nose up at any road wins, especially in conference, but the Pelicans had most of their players, right? They had Herb Jones back for the first time in a minute. Mike had a great stat prior to the game about how they had won 5 in a row, and then Jones went out, and then they lost 7 in a row. I thought the Lakers took a pretty good punch from the Pelicans. Trey Murphy III had a career high 42 in that game. But the Lakers stars, again, carried the day. Both Luka and LeBron were brilliant. Luka with a 30-point, 10-assist performance. LeBron with 30, 8-8. LeBron really emerging over this last dozen games or so. He is one of the bigger storylines, I think, of the year in terms of how much it can impact the Lakers' ability to win. But just broadly speaking, I thought that was a good win, that they fought back. They were down 7 going into the fourth quarter. Bron was phenomenal to start that fourth and wrested the lead away from them rather quickly. Luka came in, hit a couple of amazing threes, including one that was very reminiscent of one he had hit off of the glass a couple of years back, and then another one against Dallas that Kobe had hit many years ago. So talk to me, D, about a win in New Orleans.
Totally in lockstep with you, Pete, about the idea of not turning up your nose at a road win. The Pelicans are, quote unquote, a bad team, but they're not a team that's trying to be bad. They've been bad mostly by circumstance, I would say. The process of them being bad has also allowed some of their young players to like get some time and develop. I was joking with you last night that for a team that's at the bottom of the conference, they sure do have a lot of players I like.
Yeah, that, I wish like, hey, we could trade for that guy and he'd be helpful. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of GM that makes me, that a team that,
Joe Dumas,
that hasn't won a lot of games
has a lot of players that you want. Yeah.
Right. But it's true. Just up and down their roster, they had guys that I thought were playing pretty well last night. And the punch that the Lakers took from them and New Orleans' ability to capitalize on the plays when the Lakers shot themselves in the foot. There were a couple times where I thought, hey, they're in the middle of a run, and then two turnovers and two threes later, and the Lakers are back down by 7 or 8 or whatever it is. So props to New Orleans for battling, and then props to the Lakers, obviously, for pulling it out and taking control of the game and then really settling into the idea of we are going to do the work in order to win this game. And if New Orleans is going to come back and beat them, it's going to be because they are truly like the better team this night. And I didn't think that was the case. And for a Pelicans team that was punching up to the weight class of the talent and had available to them, to me, that does make it a pretty good win for the Lakers. The stuff you said about Luka, I want to briefly touch on him because I really want to linger on LeBron for a bit. 30-point night for Luka, which is average, in fact, like a little bit below his average, considering he leads the league at a little bit over 33 points. But a 10-assist night in a game where it wasn't entirely clear that they were going to actually like put two on the ball against him. That sort of creates the assist opportunities. I think the fact that he got to 10 assists is a very nice number for him in that sort of game. And just 50% shooting, he didn't shoot the three ball particularly well. He hit a couple of hot potato threes where he had to fire them up. And the fact that those went in are a tribute to his shot making. But Pete, his ability to continue to be a two-point demon and really score inside the arc, this was something that we sort of lamented last season. It's just like, where is Luka the two-point scorer? Where is the guy who can score around the basket or in and around the paint? Like, he's shooting such a low percentage on shots that he normally makes. And this season, it's been the opposite. Like, the three ball has not been a real weapon for him besides being like a volume shot that teams are respecting. But inside the arc, he's been a menace. And his ability to like hit these leaners and these fade shots and getting to the rim, he had that great split of the pick and roll up high where he went behind his back and got to the basket. These are brilliant offensive plays. And the number of fouls he's drawing basically on shot attempts and rip throughs, and some of it is dark art stuff, but a lot of it is just like he's getting clubbed because he's initiating contact or guys are trying to stop him from scoring. Just like you won't turn your nose up at a road win, I'm not going to turn my nose up at a 30-point, 10-assist night on 50% shooting on a night where some of the role players like didn't have it in the ways that they'd had it previously. I'm looking at Jake here, but just not a lot of scoring with the guys out.
Sure.
And so Luka, it's needed, and especially efficiently.
Yeah, very much so, man. His dominance from the mid-range is one of the things that I'm excited about, and that, you know, one of my beliefs is that one of the ways you build a contender is by stacking on top of what makes your best player special and like what's so unusually good about them. And so we were talking yesterday about the Lakers' mid-range talent and how many guys they have that are really productive from there. Luka is obviously the leader in that, but when you add that to LeBron and DA and Austin, Rui very effective from there as well when he gets a clean look, right? You've got several guys who can really produce from that range. That to me is one of the main theories of victory for this Lakers team, is kind of building around Luka's dominance in that respect. And I thought last night the box score did not entirely do Luka's game justice. I thought that, because like you said, a 30 and 10 night, that's a Luka Doncic game, right? But he had several other plays where, you know, he was getting two and got the ball to DA, who would then find LeBron on a cut, for example. That was the first or one of the first buckets of the game was on that. A lot of that production, D, was also not so ball dominant that nobody else was getting shots or getting looks type of thing, right? Like, I really liked the mix of that. And again, they hit some bumpiness with the bench groups, but again, I thought that was more of a function of Nick Smith Jr. wasn't very good in that game. Dalton was helpful, I thought, in that game, hit a couple of threes, blew a couple of defensive assignments. But yeah, Lakers, I think, are like one rotation player short. They're supposed to be getting Gabe Vincent back tonight for the Spurs game, which we'll talk about a little bit later, D. But yeah, that dominance from the mid-range and from two-point range, I think, is something that not only was something that he brought to the table tonight, but it's something that I think the Lakers can really build around to be a dominant offense in ways that defenses are not built to defend that area the way that they are the rim and three-point range.
Totally agree on that point. And You know, another guy who's been dominant, Pete, and dominant all over the court offensively is LeBron James. And so another 30-point night from LeBron, 38-8, only one turnover for LeBron, an activity level defensively that I think mattered. He defended Zion a fair amount. He defended Derek Queen some. When he found himself out on the perimeter, I thought he was competing defensively there. But offensively, Pete, if there was a question about whether or not, oh, is LeBron going to like make it back to the level he was last season, or coming off of the sciatica and sort of the rough stretch of games he had when he first returned, that seems like a distant memory to me now with how he's moving around the court. You mentioned the first basket of the game. The Lakers are putting LeBron in the corner at times and letting him work as a cutter. He first basket, just like you said, DA diving, pick and roll, draws to like on the collapse and then dumps off to LeBron, monster dunk, transition, windmill dunk off of a great read, steal, jumped the passing lane, broke out, gets a windmill. Lakers run a stack Spain pick and roll action that they had run the play before, and then LeBron back cuts off of that from the weak corner, and Luka throws a lob that LeBron, two hands, top of the square, looks like, and he's throwing down a monster lob.
Unbelievable.
The athleticism, it's not going to be there in a, like, I'm super athletic in traffic, but when you give him a runway, he's still just a super elite athlete, and he's so freaking strong. And the three ball's falling for him right now, so he was 3 for 5. What was he from the field overall? He was 10 for 19, so 52%. He hit 7 of 14 from 2, all 7 of his free throws. I wrote a New Year's resolution piece at Silver Screen and Roll last week, Pete, and my point for LeBron was make your free throws, because he was shooting 65% from the line for the season, which is a full 10 percentage points lower than what he's basically been the last four seasons. And now he's been making his free throws. For the last 12 games, he's 75% from the line, 25, basically 7-6. These are Hall of Fame career numbers. Those are like Kobe's career numbers. And LeBron's been putting those up for the last 12 games in his year 23. He's 41 years old. Let's take a break. I'd love to hear you talk about LeBron a little bit because he's been brilliant.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yeah, LeBron showing this level of athletic pop and production and just looking like himself, like the guy we've seen for year after year, is a game changer for this season for the Lakers, right? That's something that there is, I never take for granted that this is going to happen with LeBron, even though he always has a similar cycle in that, you know, it's going to take a little bit to ramp up. One of the things that he has pointed out, and he was in a great mood last night talking about the potential back-to-back and whatnot, but one of the things he pointed out about this year is that he didn't have a preseason and that we sort of saw it play out in front of us, what would normally be preseason reps and ramp up and things like that, that, you know, you don't know that he's going to end up getting it back, but he just athletically looks so much better that on a team that is yearning for more of that, he helps in this respect. No, he's not the athlete that he used to be. And if you're relying on a 41-year-old to be your athlete, right, that is problematic, but he helps the team get cheap points in ways that, like, a lot of what Luka does is in the half court. You know what I mean? It's in transition passing and things like that. But Luka's not a leak out player himself. And so having that wide receiver to go along with the quarterback is just so very helpful. But also the integration of him within the offense in terms of moving him around from the corner. He's looked great off of the dribble. That, like, there are so many situations where he is still that guy in with the ball in his hands in open space that it may be less and less that 5-on-5 type of action where the defense is set and all of that. But against the right guys, I think they're doing a much better job this year of targeting favorable mismatches for LeBron versus the last couple of years. That, I don't know, D, I think that this is a game changer for the Lakers season, that if LeBron is still a superstar and still playing at this 25-8-8 level, which doesn't get into all of the ways in which he's helpful. But we saw this happen last year, D, sort of a Redick called out the team. And I remember there was a talk with LeBron right after a game against Miami. This was a little bit earlier in December, but after that, LeBron, I thought, really responded and led the team. And this is very reminiscent of that, D, in terms of just kind of LeBron stepping up after that and looking at his athletic best.
It was honestly, Pete, almost the same exact time of the season. LeBron's obviously been around forever and he knows how to rock the boat with purpose, get something he wants, or I want a roster change or whatever. And he also knows how to calm those waters and he knows how to go along with the head coach and mirror what the head coach is saying and asking of him. When JJ came out handful of games ago or whatever and was just like, we're bad at this, we need to be better at this, and where's the execution on that? And like, I think LeBron, not in his words but in his actions, has basically been like, I'm not going to be the guy who, when you say these things, that they apply to me, right? And I'm going to lead in this way. I'm going to be the example of what we should be doing on the court. And I think that he's shown a commitment defensively. I think he's shown a commitment to executing the team's offense and running the plays and being in the right place and doing all of that stuff that matters.
Can we talk about LeBron on the defensive end and just in general? We've talked a good amount about the fit and Luka and LeBron getting chemistry on that end, but this is a challenging time as well without any of your defensive guards. That was one thing that really impressed me about last night's game, is that they were pretty good on the defensive end despite Murphy going crazy, that LeBron was a big part of that.
He's been good. Like, he's been better at this, like, for the last, I don't know, like, week and a half. Are you going to be able to find a clip or two in every single game where it's just like, oh, there goes LeBron? Yeah, show me any superstar where that's not the case. It happened to everyone. But he's got these possessions, Pete, where he is closing out, getting in the stance, sliding, rotating, cleaning up the backboards. He is doing his job pretty damn consistently. Like, the thing that I've always said about defense in general, especially within the team defensive concept, and when you're sort of a big player, is that when you're not good on defense, it's going to be loud. And one of the things I can say that's maybe the highest form of praise is that I'm having trouble remembering a possession where LeBron stood out defensively at all. in terms of like a negative thing. If anything, I'm remembering a play against Memphis where he closed out, I believe, on Santi Aldama. And then he basically broke down in his stance. Aldama tried to beat him off of the dribble, couldn't, went into the corner. Then LeBron closed the space again. Aldama picks up his dribble to try to throw a pass. LeBron then raises up his left arm and gets a deflection. And then that turns into a transition basket the other way. That was a, I'm in the paint. I'm on the perimeter. I'm chopping my steps. Oh, you're trying to go by me. No, I'm giving ground. I'm ceding space. I'm cutting off the drive. Oh, it's about to be a step back. Oh, I'm closing out hard again. High hands. Oh, you're going to pass. Active arms. Deflection. It's that way more often than it is the like, oh, LeBron's a traffic cone, or he's just standing there and not paying attention to his help responsibilities. And so for me, defensively, that we need athletes. The athletes part to me is way less about like, oh, we need a downhill threat on offense. No, it's way more we need motor and size. Defensively, it's one of the reasons why Vando being back in the rotation matters. Vando's doing stuff where it's just like, oh yeah, that. We need more of that, please. And LeBron has that to him when he's animated.
Absolutely. And the ability to cover distance and space is a big part of this as well. And so part of motor, I don't know if you would want to couple these or separate them, but to me, it's anticipation, right? And that idea of you have to be able to cover space is something that you can do with a level of foot speed and athleticism, but you can also do that by being able to read and be like, oh, this is what's going to happen next. And so this is something both Luka and LeBron can do. LeBron can also add that level of, and I'm still a certain level of athlete that can use that to, especially on the ground, right? Like you said, you give him a runway. That doesn't just apply to finishing in transition or something like that. He can still close out to the three-point line very effectively and chop his feet and recover, just like that Aldama play that you laid out.
So his helpfulness on both sides of the ball, I just wanted to make sure that, yeah, it's been a few games against teams that are only so-so. We talked at the top about New Orleans was probably a better version of themselves than what their record says. I would argue, too, that we talked about this in the second Memphis game, especially that playing the same team twice in a row when you just beat them, it's going to require a different level of effort. And I thought without Morant available, it was like a different look from that team that did require a different type of engagement rather than locking in on a superstar player. So good wins, I think. But I don't want to just highlight this because of like the wins. LeBron's been looking better. And in his age 41 season, I don't want a dozen games to go by and us be like, oh, ho-hum, LeBron with another 25-point night. It's just like, no, man, like this dude should not be doing this in reality. And the fact that he has been, it does help course correct a Lakers season where without Austin, who many were looking at as their second best player with the way that he was playing, a lot of all-star buzz for him and even some all-NBA buzz is like, can he be one of the 15 best players in the league? Well, if he's scoring 28 a game and getting you 8 assists and is able to go for 40 or 50 on nights where Luka sits, it's just like, yeah, maybe he can be an all-NBA player, right? For LeBron now to step in and be like, oh yeah, well, we don't have that guy anymore, but you can lean on me and I can still be LeBron James. It's just like, that is a weapon for this team. Mm-hmm. And it is something that on a night-to-night basis, when he plays, we'll see what happens tonight against the Spurs, to be able to bank on a certain amount of production from him is freaking awesome. And I know he makes a lot of money and yada, 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 but let's be real, man, like 38-8, pretty damn good night. And it's been this way pretty much for like a handful of games now, at least. So just wanted to make sure that we hit that. Let's go to break here, P. And when we come back, I want to talk about a player who had a good game last night and a player who's going to have a good game tonight against the Spurs as well.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
One last player I wanted to comment on, Pete, before we transition to the Spurs game, and he will be a pivotal player in that as well, is DeAndre Ayton. He had a bit of a rough spell a handful of games ago, and JJ, I think, put some words in Ayton's mouth, and then Ayton sort of confirmed them a little bit in that, you know, he hadn't been getting the ball, and teams had really been game planning, I think, to not allow him to get touches, and we've talked about that on the pod. But last few games, a couple games against the Grizzlies, and then this game against the Pelicans, I thought he was really good on both sides of the ball, and I would just love to hear your thoughts on Ayton, both in this game and also how he's going to be needed against a Spurs team that obviously has Wemby and will need his sort of backline defense against their guards as well.
What the Lakers need from DA is a lot of the little things that have nothing to do with touches, right? And it requires a level of selflessness on both ends of the ball that for a player with the reputation that he has is a fascinating challenge. There are going to be some nights where, yeah, they're guarding you on the pick and roll and it's Jake LaRavia who is wide open. Last night wasn't one of those nights. As we've talked about, the defense has a lot of control over which satellite players get touches and which ones don't. Satellite players meaning that like they don't have a lot of on-ball touches, especially on the perimeter. So when he made those comments, D, that was one of the first times this year, along with some of his play over the previous few games, that had been like, this is sort of the guy we were worried about, that is the reason that he's available for $8.3 million, despite how talented he is. He even had a play in this last game in the second quarter where he didn't box out Derek Queen on a rebound. They end up getting a finish for Trey Murphy III and an and one. As a result, Ayton barely reacted to any of it. And Redick pulled him right then and there. In the fourth quarter, one of the interesting adjustments that they made after Trey Murphy III had such a, he had 20 points in that third quarter, DA was actually the assignment on Murphy a few plays, especially early on in that quarter. Like you said yesterday, he has a certain level of activation when he gets on the ball that isn't always present as a rim protector or a help defender, but I thought he was good in those roles as well. And so this is going to be the push and pull, D, of Ayton's year, is that so much of what the Lakers need will require a certain amount of, I might not get a shot out of this. I might not get a level of statistical glory and things like that. How much he embraces that is going to be a big part about how the season goes forward for him.
I totally agree. I will say this hasn't really been a huge concern for me this season. It started to become a bit of one during that stretch of games. But one of the things that I think is critical for Ayton is just to get touches in general. They don't have to be for shots. In fact, there's been a ton of offensive rebounds where he's actually been around the basket and he's just passing the ball out. So I wouldn't say that he's been playing like a selfish brand of basketball or like he's been some sort of black hole. I'm not, you didn't imply that at all. I'm just making the point that the idea of I need touches, I'm not getting the ball, that often comes with this idea of let me shoot. And I would argue he's turned down a bunch of shots, particularly off of offensive rebounds, where I'm just like, he could have shot that. Or times where he's turned down the mid-range jumper in order to look for pitch outs, where I'm just like, I could totally see him just taking this shot right here. And it honestly wouldn't even be a big deal if he did. So the push and pull of giving himself up offensively, like rolling into defenders or taking guys
with him. Roll hard even if you know you're not going to get the ball, right?
Right. Or even, to me, Ayton doesn't even necessarily have to roll hard all of the time because he's been such a threat in the pocket. And so just him being on the court is occupying guys in a way where earlier in the year, I remember Blake Griffin talking about, he's got to give himself up. He's got to roll hard. He's got to make himself a threat at the rim. And I argued then that's a misconception of where Ayton's great as an offensive player and where he's really helped the Lakers. Where he's really helped has been in the pocket. Well, what teams have done is they've been trying to take the pocket away from him. And particularly since Rui's been out, they've been pinching from the weak side and being like, we're showing nail help on him. And we're making it so that the pocket's not there. And when he does catch it, they're swarming him. And he's getting some turnovers because of this too. This is like, they're reaching in on him and taking the ball away. But overall, it's more, can you find ways to involve him just a little bit more? Because defensively, you don't want to see his motor go down defensively or past a certain point. In the two Memphis games and in this game, he did show a certain amount of like, no, man, like I'm having real impact defensively. Yeah. The second game against Triple J, I thought he was great in that fourth quarter. And he had some possessions in this game against the Pelicans, against Zion, that I thought were great, stoning him at the basket. JJ mentioned after the game, they went to their 15 coverage, which is their switching 1 through 5. And he was out there on Trey Murphy. He was out there on Herb Jones. He was out there just on perimeter guys, like contain the ball and do your job. And he's been doing that. And he's going to need to do it tonight, too, against the Spurs, Pete. Like, he's going to have an important job in defending Wemby.
Very much so, yeah. Wemby came back yesterday, came off of the bench, had 30, but the Spurs lost to Memphis, which means whoever wins tonight's game will be the sole owner of the second seed in the West. Yeah, it's all fun and games when we're playing the Grizzlies or the Pelicans and teams under 500, which, again, not to turn your nose up at any of that, Lakers have been great in those games and have gotten wins. That's the whole point of this part of the season, is to get wins and to get better. The cake is not done baking, but if you can get, just pull out wins when you can, and the Lakers have been doing that. But this is a Spurs team, D. Lakers played a little less than a month ago and Spurs rolled them. It was in the quarterfinals of the Cup. It was in LA and the Spurs, you know, won that game handily, were up by double digits for most of the game in one of those many games, D, that it just seemed like they ran right past us. And so how do the Lakers start putting up better performances in these type of games? How do they do that against the Spurs?
We've been talking about the defensive stuff, Pete, and this is where their guards are a problem. I was just talking about Wemby, but their guards are a problem. And the idea of athleticism and strength and like perimeter oomph, the Spurs got that in multiple forms. Whether you just talk about like Fox and Castle and Harper, that's great. But even a guy like Keldon Johnson or Devin Vassell or Champagne, these are good perimeter players, Pete, and they can hurt you. It'll be nice to get Gabe back, but Gabe's small too. So I wonder how much success he's going to be able to have against some of these uber athletic guards. But if the Lakers are going to hang in there, I think there's going to have to be a certain amount of game plan discipline and understanding of where their player positioning has to be and all of their help and the level of high alert they're going to have to play with in help situations is critical, I think, to their success against their guards.
Very much so. And I'm curious, the Lakers have been putting two on the ball a little bit more, especially with this new starting lineup that's been there with Rui out, that the degree to which the Lakers sit back on their heels, because when you're at a disadvantage from a talent perspective, it's easy to get into a defensive posture, right? And so if you don't have much in the way of perimeter defense or perimeter foot speed, and you're going against De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle, Dylan Harper, again, it's very easy to get on your back foot. And that plays right into what they're going to do best. And the Lakers' ability to contain the ball in that last game was absolutely atrocious. They can't come out with that same sort of back foot, we're going to try to contain because you're not. And so how the Lakers respond to that D. We've seen more zone defense from the Lakers recently with mixed results. How do the Lakers kind of take the fight to San Antonio rather than just getting hunted in space the way that they did in the last one?
Well, I'd love to hear your ideas about this, Pete, because the terms of engagement stuff that we talked about with Iztok, I think is critical.
Absolutely. Tonight. Yeah. To put it in a simple sentence, I think they're going to have to live with some degree of three-point shooting from guys like Fox, Castle. If you're going to put two on the ball, I think there's going to be a certain amount of like cheating off of certain players. We've got to protect the rim. If this guy's open, we'll live with it type of thing. I think that's probably your best bet tonight. And then, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to kind of develop the zones a little bit more.
Yeah, and if Keldon Johnson and Harrison Barnes can make those shots, but if Keldon Johnson and Harrison Barnes and Champagne, like if they make a bunch of threes, like you can't take away everything.
That's right.
One of the things that I'm hoping for, actually, is for the Lakers offense to similarly give the Spurs some problems and challenge them in ways. And honestly, like, can you get these guys, some of these guys into foul trouble? And can you, like, throw off their rhythm in ways?
And can you not turn the ball over to play exactly into the advantage that they have over you? I think this is a great test of this whole idea of Lakers being a pick-and-roll team that was super heavy but running into some teams that are really built to guard it versus being able to mix up the attack points with LeBron in the post, Luka in the post a little bit more, things like that. This is a great test to see exactly how far they've come in this respect.
100%. And the overall idea of beating the Spurs is tricky because they are the ultimate profile team of the sorts of guys that give the Lakers problems, right? They're young, they're athletic, and then on top of that, they've got this alien in the middle who can really hurt you on both sides of the ball. One of the things that the Lakers do have across the board, though, I would say, particularly with LeBron and Luka and even Ayton against Wemby, is they've got strength advantages a lot of times in their matchups. And so I get that Castle's a super powerful guard, but Luka's a big dude. And Castle, believe me, is going to battle and fight, but if you put Castle on him, Luka can still back him down or make him work defensively and get him into a certain posture, particularly if he's like trying to bang against him in the post. The same is true for LeBron. This is a very interesting night of a possibility for like a post-up based offense against them, even more so than like a pick and roll heavy attack against a team where it's just like Wemby's going to play that deep drop against them and be like, go ahead, drive. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're going to mirror some of the defensive tactics that worked against the Lakers earlier in the year, where they're going to try to play pick and roll coverage 2-on-2 and say, our guards are going to fight over the top. We're big physical guards. You could try to screen us, but we're going to recover. And Wemby's just going to be waiting for you around the basket. And you're going to have to live on midi two-point shots and floaters and all of that. So I'd much rather try to warp the floor with post-up based offense, particularly against bench groups, but say LeBron get in the post, Luka get in the post, even if it's the mid-post off of Horns actions, and run more organized stuff with cutting and screening actions, move Luka off of the ball and get him coming off of curls the way that they've been doing recently, make their offensive attack more varied and more play-based, because I think that that can help them puncture the Spurs defense more consistently beyond just pick and roll attacks.
Should be a good one tonight. Battle for the number two seed in the West. We will be back tomorrow to talk about how it went. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
Yes, Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound is lobbed. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
two, one, miss it! Unbelievable. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes! And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.